We're going to treat our reading of the law a little differently today. On Friday, the Supreme Court issued its ruling on the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization case. And as you know, this was one of the most important pro-life cases in decades. This ruling overturned Roe v. Wade, which was the case that established abortion as a constitutional right back in 1973. And the Supreme Court ruling that was released Friday states, in part, "The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overturned or overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives." Now, while this ruling does not abolish abortion, it certainly changes the battlefield. This is no longer one battle that's being fought with the federal government. Now it's 50 battles that are being fought with state governments. And that's good. This is progress toward the goal of completely abolishing abortion from every state in our nation. And we rejoice to see that roughly half of the states are already passing laws to ban or significantly decrease the number of abortions in their states. And this is something that Christians need to celebrate. This is progress that we need to give praise and glory to God for having accomplished. But the battle is not over. Until abortion is completely abolished in all 50 states, we need to continue to fight against this evil. And let me reread this quote from the Supreme Court ruling and listen to where the authority to regulate abortion is placed. "The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and to their elected representatives." To the people and their elected representatives. We, brothers and sisters, are the people. We are the people that the authority to regulate abortion has been returned to. It belongs to us and our elected representatives. Now, unfortunately, our elected representatives in California are strong advocates for the death culture. Our legislators have already prepared a bill that seeks to add the right to murder unborn babies to our state constitution. And some California legislators are making California an abortion sanctuary. One legislative proposal underwrites the cost of travel, lodging, and the medical procedure for out-of-state women who live in states where abortion is restricted or banned to come to California so that they can end their child's life here. And should law enforcement from their home state make any attempt to prosecute these women, our state and local officials have stated that they will refuse to cooperate. They will not comply with subpoenas from other states, and they'll refuse to turn over any health data requested by other states. Now, 2 days ago, Governor Newsom tweeted, "Abortion is legal in California. It will remain that way. I have just signed a bill that makes our state a safe haven for women across the nation. We will not cooperate with any states that attempt to prosecute women or doctors for receiving or providing reproductive care." And by reproductive care, he means terminating pregnancies. And when you read the scriptures, you see that the sins that God judges a civil government for basically fall into five categories: idolatry, killing the innocents, sexual perversions, greed, and injustices to the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and the sojourner. And the state of California is guilty of all five of these sin categories, grossly guilty of all five of these sin categories. And that puts us in a very precarious position, because the God that brought judgment against the destruction upon the cities and nations that we read about in the scriptures, that God is a just and righteous God who acts consistently with his character. And what we see in scripture is that he destroyed and brought judgment upon cities and nations for their guilt in only one or two of these sin categories. California is guilty of all five of them. But especially California is guilty of killing the innocents that is heaping up God's wrath against our state, because we have elected officials, elected representatives who are doubling down right now, doubling down on their commitment to abortion, to killing innocent children. And this type of situation, when this type of situation happens, the people of God should respond by entreating the Lord to be merciful. We should acknowledge the sins of our land to the Lord and entreat him to be merciful to us. That's what Moses did. That's what Ezra did. That's what Nehemiah did. That's what Jeremiah did. And the first step to confessing the sins of our land to the Lord is to hear the Lord's indictment against the land. And so an indictment against our governor, against every officer, every public servant in our state and local governments who are using their office to advance the culture of death, an indictment against every citizen who voted to put these wicked people in office. We need to hear the indictment of God against this sin that characterizes our state. So I'm going to read from Psalm 10, verses 3 through 11. And understand, this is an indictment. But it's not my indictment. It's the Lord's indictment. This is the indictment of the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, speaking through the psalmist against those who plot wickedness. Would you please stand for the reading of God's law? From Psalm 10, beginning at verse 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments, referring to God, your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall not see. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. Let me read verse 8 again. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Please be seated. Now, brothers and sisters, we have just heard the indictment of the Lord against those who plot wickedness in our state. And because of the blood of the innocents which cries out from the land, the Lord would be right and just to bring severe judgment upon our state and to do it immediately. And as Christians, we will entreat the Lord for his mercy. Because judgment begins with the house of God, we must confess our own sins before we attempt to deal with the sins of others. If there is a plank in our own eye, then we need to remove that plank before we attempt to deal with the sins of others. And so we're going to begin, as we customarily do, with a time of silence for us to confess our own personal sins to God. And after we have had the opportunity to confess our own sins, I'm going to lead us and a public confession of the sins of our state. So let's pray.